Good morning. As people find their seats, we just wanted to welcome you to the Palm Sunday service at Trinity. We're glad to see you all here, especially as Alachua County spring break kicks off. I know people have scattered, and I know a lot of them are at the beach, and a lot of our youth have gone off with their families as well. So we're glad to see everybody that is here today and excited to worship with you. And as we say here, welcome home. Why are we here? Great. Please prepare your hearts for worship with the Sunlight Band.
I suggest maybe next year we have church service on Palm Sunday at the beach. What do you think? Yeah. All right, would you all please stand? We'll sing All Glory, Laud, and Honor. And don't forget to raise your palms, please. Get it? Palms? Okay. All right, you ready?
The company of angels.
Continue to lift your palms as we sing our worship song. You're the God of the city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this
songs I thought you should all know, and if you'll join me in affirming our faith together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. Begin.
Thank you. Please be seated.
And as you're seating, the names will come up on the screen for people that are in the hospital or needing special prayers this week. So please take special note of those, write them on your hearts, and remember to pray for them this week. Pray for healing and comfort for them and their families. Now if you'll join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with these names that we have in front of us. We ask that you be with them, that they feel your love, and that they feel your healing, God, and that we all have people in our hearts and in our lives that need your love as well, that need to feel your presence in their lives, and we ask that they can feel that this weekend, that we can be the people that that they can see your love through, God, that we can be the Jesus that they see this week, and God, that we remember the way that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We're delighted all of you are here. In the inside cover of your bulletin, particularly this side, you see all the events of Holy Week. And that would be something really great to hand to somebody and make note of that and share and invite people to any of these services, all of these services, Thursday night, Friday noon, Friday evening. Thursday night is going to be an experiential experience, and I really, just really encourage you to come. All this will be transformed this afternoon. If you can come by and help, that would be great. Also on Easter Saturday, if you can come and help greet people who are going to be here. You've heard the call go out. We're going to have a lot of people here for Easter at the egg hunt. And you can pick up a shirt over at the reception desk and sign up for how you want to help out. Also, palm crosses. You see some people wearing these palm crosses. The Sunlight are selling these or handing them out for a donation to help for their tour. And we hope they'll be outside afterwards. Brian Myers. Brian's Sunday school class is going to start a new study. Tell us about that, Brian.
Thanks, Dan. As I was sitting here watching the parade, the Palm Sunday parade came through, I thought it was a great metaphor for this church. As we come through, we're celebrating together God's creation. We come down there, celebration. Dan steps in, causes a bottleneck up here. Dan moves out of the way, and the parade continues to move right along.
Hey, cut him off.
But we're a church that loves to celebrate God and loves to celebrate each other. And one of the ways we do that is through adult Sunday school. Our Sunday school class, titled Companions in Christ, meets at the 11 o'clock hour in room 232. The new wing of the Education Building Room 232 at 11 o'clock following this service. And we typically follow a topical study followed by a Bible study. And we're just now finishing up the Generous Justice study a lot of us have been doing. And starting the Sunday after Easter, we're going to be beginning a study in Romans and using Max Lucado's Life Lessons book as kind of a guide. As we go through for 12 weeks, doing a fairly in-depth study of the book of Romans. And our class's mode of operation is we look at the book of the Bible and what does it mean today? How do we apply it in our own lives? We have a very strict age requirement. You have to be between the age of 2 and 152. So as long as you fit within that age range, we welcome you to our class. We have a wide range of ages, life situations, those sort of things. Again, 11 o'clock hour, room 232. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. As you recited the Apostles' Creed today, I wanted to remind you that I'm going to start a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed starting about April 22nd or 29th. And the book, my friend Tim Tennant, president of Asbury Seminary, has written a wonderful little book. They're just in now in the bookstore, so if you want to go pick one up, that would be great. One other announcement, the trustees have been working really hard to pick out carpet. You've helped them. And they finally decided on a carpet color that I wouldn't have maybe picked, but lime green they thought would be really nice. April Fool's. Right, April Fool's. Debbie was going to kill me, weren't you? Kathy Southwick and the folks from PACE are here. They're bored. Kathy, come say a word about the video of the Mission Box today. We're always honored to be partners with PACE and thrilled about hosting you and this
Thank
sort of
you.
Thing.
Thank you. Well, we feel very, very blessed to be a part of your worship service today. I think most of you probably know that we serve girls ages 12 to 17 who are dealing with difficult situations often in their lives, their family, things have happened to them. And I see our center as a sanctuary for them where we surround them with love, unconditional love, and we believe in them until they can believe in themselves. And we get them and their families the resources that they need. When a girl comes to PACE, she often has lost hope for her future. So we are in the business of restoring that hope, and I've been there for almost 15 years now, and I've seen hundreds of girls turn their lives around. So I truly appreciate the support that you're giving us today. And I'd like to just briefly mention some of my wonderful board members. Tammy Prince, who has been the chair of our board for 2 years. She is wonderful, and her equally wonderful husband, Mike. Pat Carlson, Celia Berger, Camille Roberts, Kathy Wood, who is a development coordinator, Leonetta McNeely, and Sandy Jones have all joined us here today. So thank you so much. We have a homemade video from our center, so you can see some of our girls.
PACE provides girls and young women an opportunity for a better future through education, training, counseling, and advocacy.
PACE helps us with our math problems and home problems.
People come to PACE for all kinds of reasons, and one of my reasons was because me and my mom, the relationship between me and my mom had got thrown off a bit. I came to PACE to catch up on my work because after my grandma died, I really stopped doing my work because I used to think about how it
was. I was touched inappropriately by my preschool teachers, and then years later, I was raised in high school. PACE has taught me that not all men want something from me, and some can be trusted.
Because my father, he wasn't really in my life. Felt like I had nobody. But PACE taught me to believe in myself and that I can do everything that I put my mind to.
I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road was easy.
What was happening to me was wrong. I dreamed that there will be a way for me to break. I wondered who I was. I heard that no one loved me. I saw violence. I wanted to die. I am a human just like you. I worried that it happened to me again. I cried because I am happy that I am not alone. I know there is someone that knows how I feel. I am beautiful. I pretend that I am a hero and I can help other people.
I want to thank you for all the things that you've done in the past and the things you're going to do for us in the future, including the donation today. Can't tell you how much it means to us, support of our girls, the donations you've done, and ask you to be very generous in your support. Thank you.
PACE rings a bell to get my life back on track.
Go.
PACE makes me feel alive again.
To the world, we are just girls, but to PACE, we are the world.
Thank you. Would you stand and turn to somebody you didn't come to church with and give them a hug and a kiss?
Everlasting arms, what a blessing this, what a peace. arms leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
You know, not to join Brian and jump on Dan too much today, but notice as soon as he told you to hug and kiss each other, he ran up behind the pulpit. I also wanted to take the shameless plug. They do rarely hand me a mic, so I'm going to take the opportunity to let everybody know that so much of Alachua County does go out to Crescent Beach this week in St. Augustine and take the opportunity to enjoy the weather and the week off, but to please be in prayer for everybody that's out there, for decisions that youth are making, and just everybody that takes this week to enjoy themselves, that they also remember that to be safe and to respect each other, and that the youth staff is going to go out for the week to be there for the youth and to provide activities that week too. So to be in prayer for us, and just remember everybody that's out there this week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather today, to come together as a group of people with all of our differences. And with all of the things that are heavy on our hearts, that we have one thing in common, and that's that we love you and we want to be with you together and worship God. And we ask that you bless this offering and that you bless the giver, and that we all can use it to magnify your glory, and that we can reach our community and reach the world, God, with these gifts. In your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Hello. My name is Helen Johnson. Right here in Gainesville, there are homeless people, hungry children, people without jobs, people who are sick, people who are fighting amongst themselves, and people who do not know God. As Christians, we are taught to reach out and help, but sometimes we don't have the means or quite know how to help these people. But God teaches us we have power in prayer. In today's song, Pray, by Justin Bieber, the chorus says, I close my eyes and I can see a better day. I close my eyes and pray. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, ask it and you'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock on the door, and it will be opened. For all things, whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we will receive. So now singing the song is Maddie Berger.
Not
Thank you. Thank you, Sunlight. Thank you, Maddie. Wonderful. Wow. Today's Palm Sunday, and I want to read the traditional understanding of this day from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Now, if you could bring up the map of Jerusalem. And sometimes it helps to get our bearings, if you would just kind of go with me on this. See if I can make... Oh, yeah. Yeah, over here on the... For those of you who can't see this, way on the far right is over in this area is Bethany. And Jesus often stayed there with Lazarus and the two, Mary and Martha. So he came in this way into the city of Jerusalem. And then he... Next day he went to the temple and overturned the money changers' tables, which we'll talk about a little bit. And he taught there, and he really confronted the Pharisees and the scribes and called them hypocrites. And we'll look at that. And then he came down in here, this lower left-hand part, there's where the upper room would probably be. Some of you have been to Israel, you'll remember this. And then after the upper room experience, they came down around this way, across the Kidron Valley, up into the Garden of Gethsemane that overlooked the temple, and the Mount of Olives is right here. And so that's where he prayed, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where Judas betrayed him. He was taken back down over here to Caiaphas' house. Some of you have walked the very steps, we think, maybe the steps that Jesus walked here. Caiaphas' house, where the Sanhedrin tried him, accused him of blasphemy, sent him up to the tower up in this area where he was mocked and scourged and flogged, and then to the cross and crucified. So that gives you a little bit of a story of maybe the logistics of where this all went. Now, what I want to do is share with you today that I learned something this week in preparing for this, in that something I'd never really noticed before, because I was looking at what happened between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. And I discern that Matthew particularly, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, convey one dramatic story. This kind of story. It starts here. John writes from a different perspective, and John's telling the story from Palm Sunday to Good Friday is very, very different. They're talking about two different crowds that Jesus is engaging with. They're two different stories. I was intrigued by the Pace video and all that I know about Pace from lots of experience with Kathy and some of the board members. Each girl has a story. Each girl has been taught a story about themselves. Each girl has a somewhat of a destructive story. But Pace leadership is creating a different story, a new story, a wholesome story. And all of us live between two stories. All of us live between two stories. Now, the story that happens in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus comes in riding on the donkey, the triumphal entry. And he goes to the temple, but it's late. And he comes back the next day and he throws over the money changers' tables. And he makes a whip of cords. And he runs them out. And it's not just about selling a few trinkets. What they've done is they've distorted the fullest meaning of what the temple was all about as a place to come and worship God and to give of ourselves and our offerings. And people who made the long journey couldn't carry livestock with them. So there was a legitimate service that provided the animals there. But in the process of time, that became extortion. It became jacked up price. It came where they changed the whole intentionality of it so that it was no longer a place of worship and prayer. It became a money-making machine. And Jesus just got so angry. And he turned the tables over and he made the whip of cords. And you will see in Matthew's account that Jesus is moving his destiny on. And he tells three pointed parables right after this. He tells the parable of the man who had two sons. And he said, the first son said, he told him what to do. And the first son said, no, not going to do it. And he changed his mind. And he did it. The second son said, yeah, I'll do it. But he didn't do it. And so Jesus asked, scribes and Pharisees, which one is the just son? They said, the first one. He said he wasn't going to do it, but he changed his mind. He said, just so sinners, prostitutes, will go into the kingdom of heaven way before you if you ever make it. Now, Jesus is just pushing the envelope really hard. Because you said you will follow God and you've not done it, is what he said to the leaders. And then the second parable, he tells about the parable of the tenants, where there was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it. He took care of it, nurtured it, and built a high tower to watch over it, entrusted it into the care of the tenants, the leaders of Israel, the religious leaders, in their care. And when it came time to harvest, he sent his servants in to get the harvest, and they killed the servants. Sent some more servants, they killed the servants. He's saying, these are the prophets, the religious leaders have killed them. He got desperate, he said, you know what, I'm going to send my own son, surely they will honor him. Sent his own son, they killed him. Told a third parable. God wanted to do a wedding banquet. Invited all the people. People who should have been coming. Made excuses. No, I can't come. Can't do this. Can't do that. Can't. So he forgot about them. Went out in the highways and byways and brought in all the sinners and stuff. Jesus was saying, those of you who God entrusted with leadership have made a mess of it. Rejected what God intended. You've rejected God's own son. And you could just see the steam coming out of their ears. And then Jesus didn't back down. He said, seven woes. Woe to you, Pharisees and hypocrites. You load the people up with rules and regulations they can't possibly survive under. You shut the doors of heaven. You make it impossible. You're blind guides. You lead them into the ditch. Then he just got further and further. He called them snakes, brood of vipers, whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. And when he was finished, they plotted to kill Jesus. He had just pushed them too far. And so you have the arrest in the garden, the mockery trial, etc. Now that's the story that I'm most familiar with. But I was reading John's story. And this is a powerful story in John's Gospel. Because John is not talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus is talking to the people he'd spent the last 3 years of his life with. Listen to this. It's just beautiful. Right after the triumphal entry. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew, this is John 13, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave his world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Wow. He showed them the full extent of his love. And he got up from the table and took a towel and a basin. And he washed each of their feet. And he said, look, I've been your master. Now we're friends. I set the example. This is what I want you to do. And so the next 3 or 4 chapters of John are this intimate story of how Jesus gathers his followers around him, invites you and me into this circle, and he tells them, here's what I want. I'm going to give you a new command. That you love one another. And the world will know that God is real because of the way you love one another. I want you to love one another. That's a new command. I want you to serve. I want you to wash each other's feet. He predicts his betrayal by Judas. The time is drawing near. He comes to that marvelous passage in John 14. And he can sense that they're worried. Their time together is almost over. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. And I'm going to go. I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. But I'll come again. I'm going to take you to myself. And I know you want me not to do this. But if I don't do this, if I don't do what my destiny is, what God has called me to be about, what God and I decided at the beginning of time, if I don't do this, there might not be a path open to anybody to heaven to be with God. But I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I'm the one God has sent to open the way. And I know you don't want me to. But that's what I got to do. But God's going to send the Holy Spirit, a comforter, counselor. God's not going to leave you an orphan. God's not going to leave you forsaken. He'll send the comforter. Come now, let us leave, he said. And they're walking in the vineyard. He said, you see this vine? I'm the vine. Here are the branches. The way the branches keep having life is to abide in the vine. So if you'll abide in me and I in you, you'll bear fruit. You'll live. Then again he said, now hear these words. It's a whole different story than there. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in my love. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. You are my friends. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. The world will hate you. Here's the world story. The world will hate you. But I'm creating a different story for the followers of mine. And the Holy Spirit, he reiterates in chapter 16, will come and guide you and teach you and keep you close. And then he, chapter 17, he prays what we call the high priestly prayer. He said, Father, the time has come. I understand. Glorify your Son. I've done what you've called me to do. I'm going to carry it through. But I pray, oh Father, not just for myself, but I pray for this group of people gathered around me, these people giving me their lives. I pray that you'll protect them. I pray that you'll watch over them. I pray that you'll help them be one with each other in deep love. And I pray not only for these 12 or these gathering, I pray for all the people who ever will one day believe in me, all of you gathered here, that I, just as you are in me and I am in you, Father, that we'll be in them. We'll be in them, empowering them, that they may, so the world may know. You see these two different stories? Wow. These are two different stories. Just as the Pace girls learned two different stories. This is all of us learned two different stories. Here's a story based on fear. They feared Jesus like crazy. He was going to bring the wrath of Rome on them. He challenged them. We had to get rid of them. Every time you and I react out of fear to anything, it will lead to a wrong decision. There's a lot of fear-mongering going around. When we act out of fear, it will lead to the wrong decision. It will crucify somebody. Jesus showed a different story. A different story. I want you to love each other. That's what you ought to be known for. And then they open up the Passover feast. As if to say, here's the story of all stories. You know the story. We, our people, were slaves in Egypt. God brought us out. That's our story. It's not our individual stories, but this is the story that really shapes us, that makes us who we are. We remember we were slaves. We remember with the bitter herbs how bitter it was. We remember with the charoseth, that little apple stuff that is there. We remember it's like the mortar, and we remember the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And so Jesus is celebrating Passover with his disciples, and then he changes the story. When he takes the bread, he doesn't say, remember the unleavened bread. He said, this is my body. And they thought, wait a minute, Jesus, you got mistaken. No, this is my body broken for you and for many. So the story that's just been ours for 2,000 years, no, it's for everybody now. Because now the story is that each of us, you and I, were slaves to sin, slaves to fear, slaves to anxiety, slaves to whatever story was ours. Now we're free. Free. A new story. Life is about stories, isn't it? Thank God for Pace. They're teaching a new story. I thought about making this personal for me. I could share my story. I got two stories. You got two stories. Some of us are going to be shaped by the stories we had learned in middle school. Maybe a lot of pain. Maybe a lot of criticism. Here's my story. I could either be what I was, a shy, timid boy, grew up poor on a farm in Ohio. They brought the Honda plant to our area. You don't take Honda plants to wealthy areas. Had a mediocre education. Didn't make the seventh grade basketball team. One day was made fun of by the band director in front of all the other kids in the band because I didn't know the music. Was rejected at Yale Divinity School. So I went to Princeton instead. Teach those Yaleys. At any rate, I was told by the chair of the Board of Ordained Ministry in Ohio when I couldn't decide, I was being honest, I couldn't decide whether I was going into pastoral ministry or academic seminary sort of education. And here's what he said. You seem like a very confused young man. And I could let that story shape me. Or I could hear the other story. I'm a child of God. Loved by Jesus. Loved by Jan. Freed, liberated from the past. Filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered, loved, forgiven, called to be about what the most wonderful thing in the world, challenged, shaped, directed, placed in the body of Christ, called Trinity, loved by others. Which story? This story of fear? This story of amazing love? Several of you wrote to me how much you appreciate the devotional. And this past Friday was Andy Jasperson. And I know many of you read it, but Andy has two stories. But he hears one story stronger than the other. I am so many things on this earth, but first of all, I'm Carola Jasperson's son. And she loves me, and I have a wonderful family. We support and take care of each other. My mother and I are always together in our hearts, whether or not we're in the same room. I think of her all the time and how hard my life has been for her to bear. When I was a little boy living in Savannah, two men came in a car and took me away from her and put me in an institution. My daddy handled it well because he was already a Christian and could turn to God. My mother was saved later, but until then she shed real tears for me. She didn't know she had to turn me over to God. When I think of my mother, I think of Christ's mother, Mary. Here's a larger story Annie's living into. I think of Christ's mother, Mary, and how she too shed tears for her son that people took away from her. My mother says she had to let me go so that I could grow up to fulfill the destiny that was mine alone. No mother can hold on to her child and protect him forever. Mary must have felt the same way. God conceived Jesus in Mary's womb. Although he was her son, he belonged to God and had work to do, including dying for our sins on the cross. His mother had to let him go so that God's purposes could be fulfilled. Maybe it's the same with me. Maybe now that I'm grown, I can serve as a testimony for other people looking for God. Andy heard this story. Which story do you hear? Do you hear the story when somebody said, oh, you will never amount? Or you're sad or pathetic? Or do you hear the story of God? Jesus, I love you. I'm with you always. Would you pray with me? God, I pray that this Holy Week, whatever stories we hear or believe, we'll subsume them under the one story of a God who loved us so much He came for us, washes our feet, fills our cup, died for us. Make it so, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing our closing hymn? Of our Lord Jesus and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this